We have all heard that having a good credit score is important. And these days, you can get it for free lots of different places. There's no reason you don't know what your credit score is. Got it. But how is that calculated? Where do they get the number from? And if you have a bad score, how do you go about improving it? Join us now to break it all down is Julie Kuzmic. She is Equifax Canada's Director of Consumer Advocacy. Hello there.
Hello.
What does it mean to be the Director of Consumer Advocacy?
Well, it means I get to direct consumer advocacy, amongst other things.
Yeah, yes.
I get to really try to help people understand what goes on behind the scenes, what a credit score is, how they're calculated, why you should even care.
So you're in the right place then.
Good.
Because that's the conversation we're going to have.
That's what I'm here for.
What is a credit bureau?
A credit bureau is an organization which is sent account information from various creditors across the country. So I'll give you a few examples. The banks, the institutions which loan money, credit card companies, they typically report to both of the major credit bureaus in Canada on a monthly basis. And what they're sending is information about all of their account holders, what their current balance is, how much their last payment was, if it's something like a line of credit or a credit card, they're letting us know what the credit limit is. Information like that gets reported to us.
Equifax is one, TransUnion is another. You then sell that data principally to financial institutions?
Yes, it's mostly financial institutions. There is a set of regulations which governs credit bureaus in Canada. Mm-hmm. So it's very clear on who is allowed to access this information. It's not given just to the highest bidder or somebody who shows some interest.
Who wants to sell me duct cleaning.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Yes, the duct cleaners do not qualify.
They do not qualify. And the financial institutions, just as an easy example, they want that data to see if we're a good risk. Are you a good risk, a good credit risk?
Yeah, it's typically one of the factors that would go into their overall calculation. So as an example, if you're applying for, say, a new credit card or a mortgage, the financial institution wants to get a sense of, are they going to get their money back if they loan
it to you? That's fair.
So the idea is they're taking a look at your past behavior. They're taking a look at the credit accounts that you have. And they're combining that with other information like your income and account balances. Those things aren't part of the credit bureau data. Those are things that your bank is going to ask you for as part of the application.
What? So you've talked about some things that are tracked, like credit card bills. What isn't tracked? Like, for example, people make payments to home insurance or life insurance or auto insurance. How do those kinds of things factor in? Give me some examples of things that aren't tracked by the credit bureaus.
Okay, well, you just listed a few good ones.
You're welcome.
Yep. So we can start the list there. Some of the other things that aren't tracked typically are rent payments. So if you're renting your housing, that typically wouldn't be showing up at a credit bureau. Payments that you're making for utilities other than telephones. So
interesting. Why the difference?
Cell phones typically are reported and other utilities generally aren't.
So like water, heat.
Exactly. Your gas bill, for example. My understanding is that the logic is you don't want to inadvertently cause an issue for people who are having trouble paying their utilities. You don't want to unfairly prejudice against them. So those utilities aren't reported. Property taxes is another one that isn't reported to credit bureaus.
Interesting. So that data is all gathered. You have some extraordinary algorithm that brings out or puts out this number. And we're going to talk about the drivers more specifically in a second, but tell us what a credit score is. It's a number.
Yes. And I might need you to hold on to your hat because there might be some mind blowing that's going on
right
now.
So ready.
Here's the first one. There isn't just one credit score.
What?
There are multiple credit scores.
From Equifax? Like you have?
Yes.
Really?
And then TransUnion has multiple credit scores as well.
That may have different data points.
Yes. So they all do the same thing. Here's what the point of a credit score is. The intent of a credit score is to predict the likelihood that you are going to repay your bills.
Right.
That's at the
high
core.
High score equals high likelihood.
Yes. And so all credit scores range between 300 and 900. Higher higher number is better, so higher number, more likely to pay. And the score is meant to be a point-in-time snapshot of the information that's on someone's credit file at the time the score is calculated.
The average is around 750, 752, I think, if I go to what was on your site. So that seems pretty high. What are some other ways to think about it? What's the median, for example?
One of the interesting things that a lot of people don't realize about credit scores is that it's very rare to get a 900. In fact, typically the top end of scores that we see in Canada are around 860, 870.
You can tell how, first of all, how type A I am and how annoyed I am that I do not have a 900.
Well, I'm happy to tell you that almost no one does.
All right.
So here's another thing that a lot of people find surprising about credit scores. They are really intended to categorize people. So the very top category for credit score is, and it depends on the lender, but it's pretty safe to say 750, 760 out of 900 or higher, you're in the very top category. That means that a bank or lender, a landlord, doesn't see any difference between somebody who's got a 770 and someone who's got an 870. Even though we're talking about a 100-point difference.
So when my reporting, the little reporting email that I get says your credit score dropped 2 points or went up 2 points, it makes no difference. Doesn't matter.
I feel pretty comfortable saying you're well into that top group and you're all good.
What's the next group down? So if 750 up is amazing, what's the next category?
Now, it varies by who you talk to. So you'll see on different sources, different websites will give slightly different ranges. So just to get you ready for all of the emails and phone calls you're about to receive saying, she was wrong.
Yes.
This is the information I got somewhere else. I'm going to say around 670 up to 750 or so
is the next
would
category.
Be about the next category.
And is that category, is the consequence of being in category two versus one that person would pay a little bit higher of an interest rate? They'd still get approved for stuff. They would just pay a little bit higher rate.
That is a possibility. Now, it really depends on the rules at the particular lender. So here's another common misconception. A lot of people feel that credit bureaus are the ones who make the decisions on whether or not to lend to somebody.
Right.
And in fact, one of the best analogies I have for what credit bureaus are is that we're just mirrors that are reflecting back the data that is sent to us by all of the entities that report. So we don't make the decision. It's the lender that makes the decision. So if you were to start going to different banks and asking them what their lending decisions are based on and what their score cutoff is, first of all, they would probably quite politely say we don't share that information. But if we were able to get behind the covers there, we would see that they're quite different across lenders.
Right.
So it really truly depends on which lender it is and what they consider to be higher risk.
And the lenders for whom relationships matter. Because we hear these stories about the kind bank manager in my hometown branch was able to give me the loan where I had been refused everywhere else. And so they would have imposed some other view that was over and above a credit score.
That certainly is a possibility, although you hear more and more stories of people saying, despite the long relationship
right,
that they've
I couldn't
had,
get a loan.
Yes. Why didn't they take that into
so
effect?
So there's the score. It's 300 to 900. Average is around 750. There's a couple different categories. What's a credit report?
A credit report also gets referred to as a credit file or a credit history, sometimes even a credit bureau, because we make everything as complicated as we can.
Yes,
so
please.
Many different terms for the same thing. It basically is the collection of information about you that is at the credit bureau.
And so I look at mine and it shows me the credit cards that I have, the loans that I have. It's got a whole bunch of history, including some fascinating dates, like how long I have had particular cards. They've been tracking this information for a very long time.
Yes. And you also may be surprised to know that actually acts to your favor in the sense that all of the algorithms or calculations behind credit scores that are trying to predict the likelihood of people to repay their obligations, they tend to favor people who have longer credit histories and who've had accounts open for longer because there's a statistical connection between that pattern and positive repayment behavior.
Right. So it's sort of says to parents, I'm a parent, empower my kid when she's a teenager and can qualify for a credit card to get one, because that history is going to help when she's looking for a mortgage in her late 20s.
Absolutely. And when you can help guide the behavior there and help illustrate how important it is to stay on top of those payments.
So you referenced one of the factors. There are, it sounds like there are five basic variables. Credit history, you mentioned, 15% of the score is based on that. And you'll correct me if I'm wrong on any of these. Payment history is the one that people think about all the time. Like, did you pay or didn't you pay? Were you late? Is there any nuance here, or is it binary? You paid or you didn't pay? You were late or you were on time?
There's always nuance when credit scores are involved. Mm. So as a factor in the overall calculation, payment history counts for the most out of all of the factors.
Well, it should, right?
Right. The reason for that is that it turns out past behavior is what is most predictive of future behavior. So people who have typically made their payments on time in the past tend to continue making their payments on time in the future. So that's why that one is the biggest category.
Another one that is large, and I think it's around 30% or so, is utilization. So give us the simple description of what that means and why that's a variable.
So utilization typically is referring to revolving accounts. Those are accounts where the balance can go up and down. So good examples are credit cards and lines of credit. Mm. On those accounts, you would have a credit limit, and you would have the ability to take more or less out on the card as you're paying it down and so on. In contrast to something like an installment loan, like a car loan, where your balance only goes in one direction, or it should only be going down. So utilization is a measure of the balance on an account relative to the credit limit on the account. So simple example, if I've got, say, a Visa card, I've got a $10,000 limit, and I've got a $5,000 balance, then that card is at 50% utilization.
Right. And don't the bureaus give more points to a utilization that is in like the 30% range?
It's a common misconception. It's not that that's untrue. It's just not necessarily true in all cases. And so this is where the nuance comes into play in the credit score calculations. Many of the elements in a person's credit file at the time the score is calculated, so that could be the number of open accounts you have, the total balance, number of late payments, the average age of your accounts, all of those elements will get weighted differently depending on the factors in the person's credit file at the time. So somebody who has a lot of missed payments, for example, they're probably going to have a higher weight placed on certain aspects of their credit file relative to somebody who has no missed payments. And that's why those questions are so hard to answer. We often get, one of the top questions we get is, how many points do I lose every time I apply for a new credit card? Mm. And the answer is, there isn't a specific answer. It truly depends on the factors in your credit file, and it might be 0 points.
Right. It is a rule of thumb that, say, I have $10,000 in as a credit limit across all my cards, that I should keep. Now, it's me. You should have your outstanding balance be at zero at all times. But if you can't, endeavor to keep it below $3,000, like
the 30%. I mean, I wouldn't say that's bad advice. That's certainly good general financial advice. I would be hesitant to offer that as a surefire trick for making sure your score is as high as possible. And I'm afraid the surefire trick isn't nearly as fun as people want it to be. Mm. It is all about making your payments on time, even if it's just minimum payments.
Two others before we go here. Hard inquiries. So this is when you go to, you know, the furniture retailer and you want to buy on layaway. Why are the bureaus interested in how many times we're asking for more credit?
Mm-hmm. So hard inquiries are anytime your credit file is accessed because you are applying for new credit. That's a simple way of describing what a hard inquiry is. So you've applied for a mortgage, applied for a credit card, etc. The application for new credit is statistically associated with increased risk in some segments of the population. And that's why that application for a new credit card may bring some people's score down. And for other people, it won't touch their score at all. Their score may stay exactly the same.
Public record. What's that mean?
public records are typically referring to items that have gone into collections. So if you've got a collections agency after you, you're going to see that information in your public records. Bankruptcies. If you've had a bankruptcy within the past 6 years, you'll see that information in the public records section of your credit file. And the other one is legal judgments that are related to financial matters.
Okay.
So unpaid child support, for example, or back taxes that haven't been paid.
This is fascinating stuff. We're going to talk again about how to improve your credit score because there's just so much to learn here. Thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Julie Kuzmic is the Director of Consumer Advocacy at Equifax Canada.